number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? Well, Zay will let us know back at the studio. At 1:30, we make a ton of football picks in our season-long show bet as to whether or not some of us will be getting mohawks or have to shave consistently for 2 weeks. And in mere minutes, we get you D-Gens ready for the football gambling weekend with the great Brandon Lang. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is back at the Horn Studio. Sitting next to me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. We'll get to Brandon Lang. Just need to tell you again, we are doing the toy drive out here at Total Men's Primary Care. 620 and Anderson Mill. Come drop the toys off until December 12th at any Total Men's location. New unwrapped toys. Thank you to those of you that have come by and dropped off toys today. Thanks to Smoky Mo's Barbecue for bringing that food. Come by and get registered. We got all kinds of cool prizes for you to win as well. Some cool gift cards, these great boots from Chisos. There's a lot of cool stuff here. So come on out and see us at Total Men's Primary Care, 620 and Anderson Mill. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe Cantina Hotline, and he is the one and only Brandon Lang. BrandonLang.com. He's the host of the best damn sports betting pod, period. Brandon, hope you had a great Thanksgiving, sir. How are you?
I did have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you very much. I'm fantastic. How are you, boys?
Man, we're doing good. I always love championship weekend. Kind of puts a little extra energy in the air. And these games always have a little interest. You know, a little interest to a lot of interest. We're trying to set up a playoff. So I'm ready to go. Is there one championship game for you in college where we should start?
Yeah. The blowout.
Yes.
Georgia, Alabama.
Oh, tell me about it, Brandon. Please tell me that the dogs get it done this time.
So I want you to think about this. If I would have came on your show last week and I would have said, listen to me, Michigan is going to blow Ohio State out and win by 2 touchdowns, you would have said, B. Lang, I don't know what CBD treats you got a hold of from the Indian Reservation, and you and Tonto are heading up the top of the mountain naked. You're going to sing some chants. Well, you're crazy. And then it happens. And my point is, when these elite teams finally have that fall, it's hard to accept. Look at Clemson this year. It was hard to accept. And, yeah, they got better as the year went on. And I wouldn't want to play them right now based on how that defense is playing. But they fell this year. Ohio State with the loss to Oregon, struggled against Penn State, got blasted by Michigan. They fell this year. Now let's get to Alabama. When you're dealing with Saban and you're dealing with Alabama and you're dealing with the hype of Alabama and they've been good for so long and they haven't been a dog like this since 2015, it's hard to accept. But you have to trust your eyes and what your eyes tell you. Backup quarterback at Auburn last week, minute 40 to go in the game, they had 3 points against an Auburn defense. And if Bigsby goes down on second down instead of running out of bounds, they don't win that game. No team that allowed Arkansas to put up 35 on you and Arkansas's quarterback to almost throw for 400 yards on you, and that game was at Alabama. That same Arkansas team went to Georgia and couldn't score. Lost 37-0. So when you bring Alabama off that pedestal and look them at eye level, they needed to sweat a 2-point conversion to beat Florida, a team that Georgia beat by 30. They lost to A&M, gave up 35 to Arkansas, and should have lost to Auburn. And when you look at Georgia, they have absolutely owned every single game this year. Georgia has not. Georgia for the season, against the spread, I just want to take you through this, they didn't cover 4 games this year. Okay? 4 games. Those 4 games. Game one against South Carolina, they gave up a fumble return for a touchdown. They gave up a 62-yard pass with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter to allow South Carolina to cover that number. They were laying 21.5 to Kentucky and gave up a touchdown with 4 seconds to go. Kentucky got the back door. They were laying 40.5 to Missouri and gave up a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter to not cover, winning by 37, failing to cover by 3.5. and they gave up a 60-yard fumble return for a touchdown in the fourth quarter, or they beat Charleston Southern 56-0. They have not left any doubt at all in any game. To you to say, well, Georgia kind of struggled there, nothing. Bama just does not look like Bama. And I told you, if I would have told you Ohio State gets beat by two touchdowns, you'd say you're crazy. Well, I'm telling you this week, don't be surprised to see Georgia beat Alabama by three touchdowns or more. You heard it here first.
Whoa.
Wow. Hey, in the Big 12, Brandon, it's a couple of teams that we're not used to seeing in the Big 12 championship game. I guess Baylor made one a couple years ago. But Oklahoma State and Baylor with the Cowboys as 5.5-point favorites right now. Do you like something about this game?
To me, it's a tough game because Baylor went into Oklahoma State early this year and played them pretty tough. My problem was Baylor couldn't stop the running game of Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State ran for 219 yards. Yeah, Baylor ran for 107, they threw for 173, but Oklahoma State controlled time of possession. Bohannon had an okay game, 13 to 27 for 173 yards. I just feel like Baylor struggling last week against Texas Tech, not beating them more emphatic, leads me to believe that I think a lot of people are going to buy into Baylor this year. And I just think they're going to come up short here without the home field advantage. I can't get past Baylor going to TCU and losing at TCU. And that's the same TCU team that this Oklahoma State team beat 63-17. I feel like Michigan's going to handle their business against Iowa. I feel like Cincinnati's going to handle their business against Houston. I feel like Michigan, Georgia, Cincinnati. So I have Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Cincinnati 3, and Oklahoma State winning the Big 12 championship, setting at 4. You're going to have a great game between Georgia and Oklahoma State, those two defenses. You're going to have Michigan and Cincinnati go at it, which I don't think it's going to be much of a match. And then you're going to have Georgia and Michigan, the big offensive line of Michigan against that Georgia defensive line. I think that's going to be your BCS national championship. And by the way, I don't know how this stuff happens to me, but my high school sweetheart, my first girlfriend in high school, the girl I dated for a year and a half, whose brother played for the University of Michigan, she went on to marry a guy by Vestardis. And now Lisa Vestardis, my high school sweetheart, her son is the starting center, a six-year senior for the Michigan Wolverines. I like those.
Look at you. Wow. How about that? That is a small world. That's small world, and we're all getting old at the same time, Brandon, all thrown into one.
The kid that dated her after me, he was a good buddy. He played on the freshman team. I was a senior, took one of my wing, worked a lot with him on basketball. Jeff Chase got a hold of me 2 weeks ago and said, "You'll never guess who Lisa's son is." I said, "Who?" So he sent me to the Instagram. And Lisa was a stallion. She was a stallion in high school. 5'10", girls basketball, ran track, volleyball. Just a stallion. Her mom taught me how to play backgammon. Great year and a half run there. I just wanted to be single for my senior year. I will say this. If we had gotten married, she didn't age well. I might have had to head in another direction. So it probably worked out better that way that I married her. I married the 5'4 Filipino rather than the 5'10 white girl from Michigan. But good for her, man. That Michigan offensive line had arguably one of the best games of the year, so it's been fun to watch.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, so, Brandon, it sounds like you got that trust level for Oklahoma State to get it done and maybe even get it done by the number. What about, you mentioned Cincinnati and Michigan here, that you think they'll handle the business. Is it worth laying those points, though, at 10.5 and 11? You trust them that much?
I can't win a game involving Cincinnati. If God came to me last night, the glass of lemonade in a white robe at 2 o'clock in the morning and told me exactly what the final score was in Cincinnati-Houston, I would still figure out a way to lose that game. That's my luck with Cincinnati issues, so I'm staying away from that. I really firmly believe that I always say you get blowouts in championship games because teams that shouldn't be there get there, and I think that's the case of Iowa. You look at Iowa down the stretch, I just don't get it. They get blown out at Purdue 24-7. They get dominated by Wisconsin 27-7. They struggle to beat a Northwestern team 17-12. They struggle to beat Minnesota at home 27-22. They struggle to beat Illinois, and they should have lost to Nebraska. Struggle. I'm sorry. You beat Ohio State by 2 touchdowns. I think you take that momentum into this game here. You've gotten some blowouts in the Big Ten championship game over the years, and I think this is the thing here.
Yeah, that's a great point. That 59-0 Ohio State game, comes to mind from a couple years ago. All right, Brandon, before we move to the NFL, I won't make you talk Pac-12 or ACC unless you want to. Is there anything else in college we need to hit?
No, Georgia's my play. This line should be 11, and the fact that it's Alabama and it's Nick Saban, it's 6.5 because of the hype of Alabama. They just, to me, all year long, they've struggled to be the Bama we think they are. And you look at the eye test in Georgia, and they haven't. They have blown the doors off everybody. It's a men among boys. The offensive line for Bama is banged up. The lead running back might be out. You got a young quarterback in a game like this. It looks okay at times, but this is a whole different breed here. And Stenson Bennett, all the kid's done is won this year, managed the game, played well. This isn't the same Bama team from years past.
Boy, I hope you're right, and I think the whole country hopes you're right, except for, like, Tuscaloosa and 10 miles around it. That by tomorrow evening, we are hoping you are correct, sir. Talking with Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com, host of the Best Damn Sports Betting Pod, period. All right, Brandon, we're coming down into that second half of the NFL schedule now. Cowboys got the win last night to start us off. Let me start with this Chiefs game. Denver at Kansas City. -9.5. I know you're one of those guys that doesn't necessarily believe that Kansas City's really finding themselves right now. 9.5 feels like a lot. Anything on that game?
I'm going to say it again. They've caught a really nice lull in their schedule, and they took advantage of it. This Kansas City team is a lot like the New England team that I'm going to talk about in a minute, because in my 30 years of doing this for a living, the Monday night game is arguably one of the easiest I've seen in 30 years based on the hype and everything surrounding it. But KC was struggling. They got to play the Giants. The Packers were without Aaron Rodgers. Las Vegas with the murder with Suggs, and Dallas playing without pretty much their whole wide receiver corps. So, yeah, they've won 4 in a row. Good for them. I tip my cap. I'm not touching this game just because I think, as far as the NFL board is concerned, it's the ugliest NFL board I've seen in 20 years. Giants, Miami, Houston, Indianapolis, Minnesota, Detroit, Philly, Jets, Arizona, Chicago, Chargers, Bengals. That's probably the best game on the board. And the Bengals should win that one. Mixon should run for about 500 yards in that game. Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Washington, Vegas. That's probably your second best game. Vegas and Washington, but who knows which Vegas team shows up. Jacksonville, Rams. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, you can't watch Pittsburgh. They're so gross to watch. San Francisco, Seattle, you can't watch Seattle. Russell Wilson digressed to where he probably should retire and go run a car wash. Denver, KC, now we get to the game I want to talk about. Buffalo, New England. Now, New England's won 6 in a row straight up and against the spread. The whole world is talking about Bill Belichick, coach of the year, what a great job he's done. The Patriots are back. They could win the East. They're going to the Super Bowl. This Patriots team, what a job Belichick has done. First and foremost, Belichick should send a case of Cristal champagne to the schedule maker. Because first of all, they play 3 of their first 4 games at home, and they lose 3 of those. The Dallas, Tampa Bay, and New Orleans. Okay? They've played 4 road games this entire year. Just 4. At 2-9 Houston, who has the 29th ranked defense in the NFL, the 6-5 Chargers, who have the worst run defense in the NFL, the 5-7 Panthers, who have the 3rd worst offense in the NFL, and the 5-6 Falcons, who have the 4th worst offense in the NFL. So those are their 4 road games this year. Not really scaring you, any of those 4 teams, okay? Here's their other 4 wins. Tennessee without Derrick Henry and their leading receiver Brown. Cleveland Browns, with a banged-up offensive line coming off the big win at Cincinnati. They beat the Jets twice. Do you see any elite teams in there?
No. Right. No.
But because it's the Patriots, because it's Belichick, because it's that level, you're getting value here. They are now going on the road with a rookie quarterback to face the number 2 pass defense, the number 6 run defense, and the number 1 total defense in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, who are sitting there going, we cannot wait to get after this rookie quarterback. You can't protect him here. You cannot hide him here. This is big boy football on Monday night under the lights. And I'm telling you, the Buffalo team you saw dominate the Saints last Thursday night is the Buffalo team you're going to see at home. This line should be 7. It's 2.5. get you some of the Buffalo Bills in a double-digit rout of the Patriots. Santa Lang is giving you your early Christmas gift on the Buffalo Bills. And mark my word, Patriots will lose Monday night to Buffalo. They'll lose next week at Indianapolis. They'll come back home and lose to Buffalo again, and they'll be sitting there at 8-7 playing Jacksonville, where they'll win, but they'll lose their last game of the year at Miami, and they won't make the playoffs. You heard it here first, but get you some of that Christmas money on the Buffalo Bills. Boys, you there?
Uh-oh. Looks like the guys are off. I don't know what happened. Sorry, B. Lang. I don't know what happened. Like, the guys are on remote. Yo, but I'm going to try to reach the guys back. We appreciate you, man. I have no idea what happened, but we'll let you go. Let the guys know. Okay. We'll bring you back. Appreciate you.
All right,
y'all. We're going to go on a quick break. I'm getting a call from Chad as we speak. We're going to come right back. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Oh, goodness. Let's hear it for the boy. Denise Williams, Isaiah?
Whoa.
Yeah, it's Denise.
Is that right? There we go. In this case, let's hear it for the man. Let's hear it for Isaiah Collier, who's producing the show today and just had to deal with all that mess.
Some people panic in the face of strain, in the face of stress, in the face of uncertainty. They handle it magnificently.
Yes, thanks to you, Isaiah, for that. And sorry to Brandon Lang for cutting him. Well, he didn't cut him off. Y'all heard his pick, Buffalo. He says it's Buffalo -2.5 on Monday night. We'll see if we agree with Brandon coming up.
So I love his logic on New England. Here's the problem, though. Buffalo has also been wildly inconsistent throughout the course of the season.
Yeah.
And they're now without White for the rest of the year, who's obviously one of the best cover corners in the league. He hurt his knee, so he's done for the season. So
good point.
Who knows what's going to happen in that game. It really is an ugly slate in the NFL this year. We're picking six games. I don't feel good about any of the six picks, with the exception of the Dallas pick last night.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is an ugly week, and you decided we'd pick six, so it's your fault that this goes wrong.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to the Coors Light six-pack picks. Thanks to Coors Light for being a great partner. We started last night with Cowboys and Saints, and thankfully for me as a Cowboys fan, the Cowboys did what Trey and Isaiah thought they would do. They won by 7 or more. I went the other way. That means Trey gained a game on me and kept pace with Isaiah. It's 35, 32, 31 are the three numbers now. Trey is only one behind me as we get started. All right, so we will go. Is it college first? Isaiah, you're in the lead. We do whatever you say at this point. College first, yes?
Since it's championship week, let's go pros first.
Okay, there you go. Start ugly and go college. That's a good way. No, that's good. That's smart. Let's come off the Cowboy thing and go Texans. We agreed to pick this game for some reason. Indy at Houston. Indy -10. 10 points for a road favorite in the NFL. That feels extreme. Isaiah, what do you think?
Oh, man. Let Trey pick this one first.
Oh, okay.
That's not how this works.
Wow, the winner says that.
Yo, I'm like, still trying to figure things out. Y'all throwing me curveballs, just dropping off air and stuff like that.
I got you.
Not sending
Fair
me.
Enough.
Chad's not sending me the picks. Give me a heads up. I don't have time
that's
to think
true.
About this.
Let's go to the next team.
I didn't send him the numbers, so that is that is true. All right, yeah, we can work our way back. So we're going Indy -10 on that one. We are also going Washington at the Raiders this week. Basically a pick 'em game here. The Raiders are favored by 1 in this game, Isaiah. Raiders by 1. You have a feeling either way here?
Nope. We're going football team Heineke outright.
Ah, football team and Heineke. Trey, I agree with him. I think Washington's the pick. I'll take them +1.
Give me Vegas.
Going with Vegas. All right. How about Denver, Kansas City? Brandon Lang said he is staying way away from it. Didn't make much sense to him. Kansas City, -9.5, Isaiah, is what we're going with here. Home team, -9.5. Do you believe that the Chiefs have found something to that degree?
Nah, I'm going to take Denver. I'm going to take Denver with the points.
Going to take Denver with +9.5. Trey, I feel bad about myself on some of these picks because I am laying way too many big numbers, but this will be the first one. I'll lay the 9.5 with Kansas City. I may hate myself by the end of the weekend. I'm going Kansas City.
Did Zay pick the Broncos?
He did.
Okay. Boy, Denver looked really good last week, but I think they'll be forced to throw it a little bit more than they had to, and the defense will be tested. Kansas City is going to look like a refreshed football team coming off that bye. Yeah, give me the Chiefs to cover this one.
Going Chiefs to cover as well. All right, Isaiah, next we're going with the Chargers and Cincinnati. I know you've liked the Bengals throughout the year. Bengals -3 at home is what we're picking here. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cincinnati. Chargers been really inconsistent. Who knows what team you're going to get out of the Bolts. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
I agree. Cincinnati -3. Trey, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going Bengals here too, guys, because they have been running the football really well with Joe Mixon, and that's something that the Chargers have been really bad at this year. So I think that, unfortunately for L.A. Chargers fans, one of whom I played with volleyball with this morning, who couldn't tell me what was happening with that football team, they are not going to get back on track this weekend against the Bengals.
Before we get to the Monday Nighter, Isaiah, do you have the Indy-Houston pick yet? Indy -10 on the road at Houston. Thoughts?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to go with H-Town. I don't know why. This is a weird game, so I'm going to go with H-Town with the points.
It's a lot of points, man. I could understand because that is a lot of points, but I'm going to lay it with Indy. I am not going to be the guy that takes Houston. I'll be the Dallas fan that won't take Houston, even +10, Trey. I'm going to go Colts.
Wow. You know, Houston has shown a lot of fight this year, and they're not a good football team with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, but they are a more competitive team with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback.
Hear that.
They lose this game, but I think they lose it in that 7 to 9 point range.
I can see that argument, man. Tyrod Taylor, I'll tell you one thing. If there are people in Houston that are tanking, he ain't one of them.
He's a gamer.
Tyrod Taylor's trying to win every week. All right, finally, gentlemen, Monday night in the NFL, New England at Buffalo. Brandon Lang, we're going Buffalo -2.5. Isaiah, Brandon Lang just laid it all out for you and said, take Buffalo. Do you buy what he is selling?
Yeah, I buy. I'm going to take Buffalo, plus Josh Allen's my fantasy quarterback, so yeah, I'm on the ride with those nuts people who like going through tables and stuff.
All right, going with the Bills Mafia. I'm going the other way. I'm taking New England +2.5, Trey. I think they're the better team to my eyes. I don't trust the Bills. They can't run all the time. I'm going to do what I've been doing with Kansas City. I think the Chiefs have found something. Brandon Lang says I'm wrong. I think the Patriots have found something. He says I'm wrong, but I'm gonna go New England.
Oh boy, I was probably leaning New England until I heard Brandon Lang make the case for the Bills. And much like Zay, Josh Allen is my fantasy quarterback, so I need him to be really good in this one.
Okay.
In order to officially secure a playoff spot this weekend. Give me the Bills to cover the 2.5. They win it by 3-6.
Both you guys going Bills. All right, we're going 6 college games. Let's start with the garbage. Pitt and Wake. Pitt -3.
Yeah.
Pitt -3. Isaiah, I have no idea about either of these teams in a lot of ways. So what do you think?
That Pitt quarterback, he's supposed to be, high pick in the draft this year. So just off that, I'm going to go with Pitt.
Okay, I don't think that is flawed logic at all. I will go with the bettor's logic of give me +3, and I'll go with the other quarterback who can throw some touchdowns. I'll go with Wake.
This is such a – wow. All right, well –
we'll trap you again.
Let me flip my cell phone, guys, because I have no idea also. If it lands glass side up, I'm going with Pitt. If it lands glass side down, I'm going with Wake.
Highly scientific, and he's throwing
glass
it
glass side up. Give me Pitt.
That's Pitt. Okay, you're going with Pitt there as well. All right, how about – let's go Pac-12 next. Oregon, Utah. Utah -3. Did you guys see enough the first time to take the Utes again by 4 or more? Isaiah?
Oregon watched the tape. They saw what they needed to do. I'm taking the Ducks outright.
Taking the Ducks. I'll take the running game in Utah, -3.
Wow, there are a lot of differences between you and Zay this week.
There's
going to be a move made one way or the other.
Somebody's making a move.
And I feel like I've been picking with Zay for the most part, so I need to go against him here. But, I don't like, yeah, give me Utah to win this game.
Going with
by
Utah.
By something more than three, I
Gotta
guess.
Gotta have more than three.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going Ducks.
Going Ducks. He's going Oregon. How about that, Isaiah? He changed right at the end. The old switcheroo. Let's go Big Ten. Michigan and Iowa. That's a big number. Minus 11 for the Wolverines. Minus 11, Isaiah. You going that far?
Nah. I think Michigan's going to win, but I think the Hawkeyes, yeah, they could definitely make it within 11.
All right. I'm going to go with the blowout theory. I think Lang is right. I'm going to lay that with Michigan in 11.
Agreed.
Okay.
Michigan blows them out by more than 11. That's a big line, but this is a game that has seen big lines surpassed.
All right, boys, how about the Cincinnati-Houston game? I've heard some say that Houston can win it outright. Cincinnati minus 10.5, Isaiah. Do you believe in the Bearcats that much?
Nope. H-Town?
H-Town. I'm going to go with Isaiah to H-Town on that one and take them plus 10.5.
Look, I can feel Cincinnati blowing out Houston coming in the air tonight.
Uh-oh.
They're going to play an inspired game because they know a win and a big win gets them into the playoff this year. Give me the Bearcats to win this one by 14-21.
Go. A little difference on that one. All right, that means it's two more gentlemen. We'll go SEC first, Georgia and Bama. Brandon Lang says lay those points all day long. Georgia's going to thrash them. Isaiah, do you agree?
Yeah, I'm not going against this Georgia team ever, so I'm going to go Georgia.
I'm a defensive freak. I'm going to do the same thing. I was going to go Saban. I marked it out, though. I'm going Georgia.
No, give me Georgia in this one also.
Beautiful.
I'm against the Bulldogs right now.
We are all going with that Bulldog defense. All right, are we all going with the Cowboy defense? Oklahoma State and Baylor will be the last one here. 5.5 for Oklahoma State. Isaiah, do you trust Gundy to do it one more time?
Yeah, I do. Go Cowboys. Outright.
I got to do it, too. I gotta go minus 5.5, Trey. I don't want to. If Bohannon was healthy, I might think Baylor. I'm gonna go Oklahoma State.
This is a game that everybody is picking Oklahoma State, so sometimes you gotta zag when everybody else is zigging.
Uh-huh.
Give me the Bears to not win outright, but I think they
going with the cover
within three.
He's going
a field goal game.
All right, he's going with the cover, kids. There you go. That's a 12-pack of Coors Light picks. The Cowboy game was number one. We just picked 11 others. Thanks to Isaiah Collier for Thanks for kicking our ass in this contest, Isaiah. Thanks for picking better than us. But thanks for dealing with it this week when I didn't even send you the games. Now Isaiah's got great excuses if something goes wrong. He can blame me that I didn't give him the numbers ahead of time. He could say I was trying to fix things. So, and that you tried to fix things by doing 12 games. He's got two different ways to accuse us of fixing this contest.
Sometimes conspiracy theories are correct, Chad.
Yeah, and then y'all just drop off air, making me all discombobulated.
Right?
Now I'm not even thinking about sports, just thinking about, you know, this radio airways. How do we get back on? So, yeah, well done, fellas. Well done.
You ever seen that scene in Airplane where the dude unplugs the lights on the runway on purpose? That was us. During Brandon Lang, it was like, let's freak Isaiah out for the picks. I wish I could tell you we could think ahead that well, Isaiah, but it just happened that way. We'll see how it works in the Coors Light 6-pack picks, the 12-pack edition this week. Up next, it is Where We At in Society. Isaiah Collier will tell us where we're at, and after today, I got a feeling he's going to tell me and Trey exactly where we're at. We're at Total Men's Primary Care, 620 and Anderson Mill. Get on by here or any location and drop your toys off for Toys for Tots all the way through December 12th. We roll on here. Hope you're having a good Friday. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Hope you're having a good Friday. We are collecting toys. Toys for Tots, Total Men's Primary Care throughout the day today. We started at 10 a.m. with Craig and Jeff. We'll continue all the way through RBKD, all the way up to 5:30. Remember, 6 o'clock tip for basketball tonight. What we got, Isaiah?
This is a classic from Ricky Williams' old agent, Master P, Bourbons and Lats.
Nice. Oh, Master P, Isaiah Collier producing for us today, doing a great job as always. If you didn't catch it last night and you want to go check out The Right Call with Isaiah, talking some basketball each week after Longhorn Weekly. Longhorn Weekly, normally Thursdays at 7. The Right Call Thursdays at 8 for you basketball fans. And remember, men's game tonight at 6. You've also got a big one for the Texas women coming up this Sunday. This sounds like something that ought to happen a lot more often. Longhorns playing Aggies in a sport. Imagine that. They're going to go to College Station on Sunday. They tip it at 3. Little Gary Blair, Vic Schaefer action on a Sunday. Top a ranked matchup in women's hoops. That will be fun in College Station. So I'm glad they're doing it, and pretty soon that'll be an SEC game.
Yes, it will be.
Good stuff. All right, coming up at 2, our man Sammy P., the betting analyst from Nesson, will join us. Unfortunately, Presbyterian season is over. We don't have any more Presbyterian to talk about, but we'll get his thoughts on some of the big games this week.
So ESPN had a big write-up on this coach for Presbyterian, his first season, and broke down all the statistics of the things they did and did not do.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'll let Sam lay it out for you, but Presbyterian, man, they can't keep going down this path. I mean, it's entertaining for everybody else, but for that fan base, I mean, it's way too stressful watching games to have your team, even when they score touchdowns, essentially cut their own nose off despite their face and trying to avoid kicking off.
Yeah. Plus, why would I want to be a player for that? That's another question that's been in my head. Why would I want to play for a team like that?
I'd want to be on the offensive side of the ball. I would not want to play defense, though. You're always behind the eight ball on defense.
Right. They don't respect you if you're a defensive player. It doesn't make any sense football-wise. So we'll get into some of that at 2:05. Right now, though, let's go, where are we at in society? Hey, this voice might win a Big 12 title.
Where are we at in society today?
Yeah, there he is. Mike Gundy going for a Big 12 championship tomorrow at Jerry World. Isaiah Collier producing for us today. He's got a couple things for us. Isaiah, where are we at in society today?
All right, fellas. So y'all know on one of my favorite shows of all time is Beyond Scared Straight, where the badass kids get sent to the pen to see what it's really about. And then the guys from the penitentiary basically show the kids that, hey, if you want to live this lifestyle, this is what you have to go through. Well, Deion Sanders is taking a page out of that book by bringing in IG model / gold digger / Brazilian butt lift woman herself, Brittany Renner, who is best known for taking advantage of celebrity men like PJ Washington, who plays for the Charlotte Hornets, who is about 8 years younger. She's been scouting PJ out since he was at Kentucky, since he was a young lad, so he didn't know what he was getting into, but everybody thinks that she trapped him. So Deion brings Brittany to talk to his Jackson State football team about the do's and don'ts of social media and how you could get exposed as a motivational tactic. I don't know, but Steve Sarkisian, you should take notes.
Wow.
My goodness. There's a lot in there. There's a lot going on.
Deion. How was his team this year?
Dude, they were 10-1. He's coaching Isaiah, any coach of the year in the conference?
Yeah, he's coaching his ass off. His son's like freshman of the year. Yeah, Deion doing big things at Jackson State.
Well, when you're winning, you're given more leeway on these sorts of things.
Man, is this like the younger, hipper, cooler version of what Ed Orgeron was doing at LSU? Essentially?
Yeah.
A
little bit.
Kind of?
Well, I don't know how many girlfriends Deion has that he's bringing them and their kids to practice.
Right, that's true. He's married. I'm saying, I guess, in terms of the woman in question here.
It just depends on how much extracurricular is going on outside of the official team meeting, I guess.
Wow. So, Isaiah, how sustainable do you think that is? Let's assume for a second that Deion does not get a new gig. How sustainable is that situation at Jackson State? You think this continues?
I think it works at Jackson State, it being a NAIA type school.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would work at a Power 5. Absolutely not.
Ooh, man. See, I've been wondering, when I saw that the other day, I'm like, wow, he got Coach of the Year. That's cool. Good for Deion. 10-1. And then his name has appeared when Vegas sends out these weird lists of who's up for a job. Deion's name will pop up on a couple, and I just kind of smile thinking, oh, they're just putting his name on there.
Some people were floating his name for the TCU job.
Right, but if you're going to be that successful, yeah. So if he moves up, I guess you have to have a talk. Maybe that's it, Isaiah. You have to have a discussion with what'd you say her name was? Reiner?
Brittany Reiner. Reiner? Yeah, very popular in the social media world.
So maybe Deion and Brittany need to have a discussion if he moves up to a bigger job that things are going to have to change a little bit?
Yeah.
Maybe.
But then again, he may also have a bigger budget to bring a bigger name in from that world, too.
Yeah. Is this just part of NIL? Is that what this is? Just kind of part of an NIL world of trying to find all the perks and all the benefits?
I guess so.
Yeesh. All right. Well, what else we got, Isaiah?
All right, fellas. Kim Jong-un, the president of North Korea, is banning all leather coats because it is knocking his style. So if you have a leather trench coat and you're rocking it in North Korea, you might go to the pen yourself.
Wait a minute. What do you mean knocking his style? You're saying you can't wear a leather coat because he knows that you look better in it than he does? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, that's your prerogative. I think Kim Jong-un's rocking the hell out this thing.
Wow. That is so bizarre.
How petty do you have to be?
I know.
Well, petty enough to be the supreme ruler of North Korea.
Right.
I mean, he and his dad are both in that category of people that if you even come close to making them not even look bad, just not look as good as they'd like to think they are in their own eyes, then the consequences are pretty extreme.
Right. You literally get attacked and not like internet attacked. Literally like Isaiah is saying, you can get thrown in jail.
Thrown in jail, if not killed outright. Death penalty.
Man. Now, Isaiah, if I get thrown in jail for wearing the leather coat in a way that he feels like he can't, do I still get to wear it in jail? Like, clearly my look is good enough that, you know, I'm all right. So do I still get the leather coat in jail? Or do I have to give up the leather coat? I'm assuming I can't take it with me?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they check it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you will never see that leather coat ever again.
And do you think Kim Jong-un then takes all the leather coats, stands in a room, tries them all on, and finds out if he actually looks better in the, that's his biggest favorites? Like, how does that work? This level of ego and insecurity all at the same time, I don't quite understand it, so I'm trying to learn here.
You'd think for somebody who is that insecure about things, he would do a better job with the hair. You know?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The hair is just a catastrophe.
See, people get on Mark Davis for his hair. Mark Davis knows exactly what he looks like. Specifically, when you hear him interviewed, it's not like he thinks he looks like something else.
He does.
Kim Jong-un, I think, is different, though. He doesn't realize it.
Mark Davis is a pumpkin pie haircutted freak, and Kim Jong-un isn't much better.
Did you see the Real Sports piece they did on Mark Davis this year?
No.
Oh, my God, it's so funny, where he just joked around about, yeah, every time I go in there, I try to get him to go a little higher. He just doesn't care. He does not care at all.
Yeah, he's like a female emo rock star where he's like trying to get those bangs as close to the scalp as possible where everything else is at like a kind of a normal length.
Oh, my God. Just nuts. All right. Where are we at in society? Isaiah Call, you're taking us through it. Isaiah, we got anything else?
Nope. We're good, fellas.
All right.
Let's get back to the possibility of Gary Patterson joining the Longhorn football program again. As we talked about a little bit earlier, Inside Texas / On 3 is reporting that the ball is in Gary Patterson's court as to whether or not he wants to join Steve Sarkisian's staff. Now, whether that's as an assistant coach, a coordinator, an analyst on the defensive side of the ball, is apparently completely up to Gerbert.
They're leaving it up to him?
Which I would assume that means if he wants to be the DC, then Texas is going to send Pete Kwiatkowski packing.
Well, number one, it better mean that Steve Sarkisian and Chris Del Conte have had a conversation. And Sark said to him, yeah, let him do whatever he wants. I don't care. He needed to say this. I'd love to have him as the DC if that's what he wants. Talk to him. If that didn't happen, again, I would worry about Sark feeling a little bit cut off at the knees here.
If Steve Sarkisian said that he would be okay with Gary Patterson coming in as his defensive coordinator, I think it's a huge mistake by Steve Sarkisian. And while there may have been some red flags this past season in terms of whether or not he might be the guy long term, that would be the first huge red flag just waving in front of our faces that some of us are choosing to ignore, because Gary Patterson does have a good history as a defensive guy, totally ignoring the last couple of years where he was clearly checked out of football. And we don't know if he's going to be able to reignite that just because he's changing jobs now. Like, he was so indifferent about the program this year. TCU, midway through the season, said, look, Gary, this is it. Like, we need to part ways after this year. Gary Patterson quit on his team at that point. He quit in the middle of the season versus coming to some sort of consensus, maybe making an announcement, maybe keeping it quiet till season's end. He quit on his team. That's not good, and that lends itself to this guy needing to prove it at a much lower level within the coaching ranks versus being given the coordinator job for Texas.
There's just layers on layers when it comes to Gary for me. I mean, there's the does he want to coach part of it, because he seems really distracted by the whole music thing and just maybe wanting to go do something else. So you got to get through that part of it. And then there's the you're more of a mid card to lower card guy. You can't say that to him, but you know what I mean. He's more of a take the 2- and 3-star guys and build them up than he is let me get all the 5-star guys. Maybe he hasn't had the opportunity yet, but does he want that? Would he really want to be a DC at a big-time school? He does have connections to Texas. I didn't know all of them until recently, but I heard somebody talking today about, like, I think his wife is highly connected at Texas, and apparently his family and the Dodds family are very close, and he's got connections at UT. So is there some sort of a dream job status, you know, around this thing for Gary Patterson? I don't know, but Steve Sarkisian needs to think about his defense this year. I mean, this is, you know, we've talked about this, Trey. You really do get, as Steve Sarkisian, the offensive side of it, you get one chance to do this. One. You get one chance to change your DC. And then the next time something needs to be changed, it's going to be closer to your front door. So does he want to do it now? Does he want to really use the card now? People are using a great example right now in Waco of what Aranda had enough guts to do. Because Aranda, after 1 year, had enough guts to say, nope, this isn't working. Sorry, Fedora, you're out. Grimes in. Offense changes. They're playing for a title tomorrow. Does Sark have that kind of guts? But then, even if he does, is Gary really the guy to make this move with?
I think the difference is in those two situations, a lot of us were skeptical that Larry Fedora was going to work at Baylor, whereas everybody said that this is a great hire Steve Sarkisian made in stealing Pete Kwiatkowski away from Washington. He had an immaculate reputation, not just in the Pac-12, but nationally, as one of the best defensive play callers in the nation. And that doesn't just change in 1 year. Things weren't copacetic on that side of the ball, in part because of how Steve Sarkisian went about bringing position coaches aboard before he had that defensive coordinator in the fray. Obviously, Kwiatkowski came after just about every position coach, with exception of Choate, who was brought on by Kwiatkowski himself after he was officially hired by Texas. You have to give Kwiatkowski the opportunity to reload with his guys in the secondary. Maybe Blake Gideon sticks around. It sounds like Terry Joseph might be joining Brian Kelly at LSU. If so, great. Best wishes to him. But that gives you an opportunity to get someone from Pete Kwiatkowski's world who can align the secondary with what that front six is trying to do.
Yeah, we'll see if that story's got any legs to it, but just, the notion that they would let Gary Patterson decide what he wanted to do is wild. We'll keep an eye on that one. Up next, we'll talk more betting with our other degenerate on a Friday, and that is Sammy P., betting analyst for Nesson. He's also the host of the Chicken Dinner Podcast, some of his favorite games for the week coming up. We also remind you that we are at Total Men's Primary Care with this great toy drive today. Get on out here and leave some toys for the kids. Go get those new unwrapped toys. Bring them to us. And remember, you can bring them to any Total Men's location all the way through December 12th. Thanks to the folks at Total Men's for having us out. Thanks to our crew on this end, Trevor, Derek, Demetrius, everybody getting things set up. Thanks, of course, to Isaiah Collier for producing today. And thanks to Smoky Moe's Barbecue for bringing that food out. Total Men's Primary primary care. 620 and Anderson Mill is where we are. One more hour for us, and then Rod and Kevin are going to take over. They'll be here, too, all the way up through 5:30. Our crew will be here till 6. This is The Horn.